first item on the agenda is to the approval of the executive session minutes of May 26th.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes, May 26th, by Councilmember Goyas. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Let the record show that was a unanimous vote. The next is, I'm going to speak in closure for that executive session on the 26th. And it was under the Maryland Open Meetings Act. The session was closed before a contract is awarded or bids are open to discuss a matter directly related to a negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal. If the public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. Okay. Next is the approval of the regular session minutes of May 26th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes of May 26th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Again, unanimous. Next, I have the privilege of swearing in our two new Board of Supervisors that were elected to the positions at our last meeting. And Steve Freeney and Nikki Chavis will come forward. We'll swear you in. What we're going to do is we'll say aye, then your name, and then just follow along. We'll go from there. Aye.
Aye. Steve Freeney.
Nikki Chavis.
Do swear and affirm.
That I will support the Constitution
of the United States.
Of the United States.
And that I will be faithful.
And that I will be faithful.
And bear true allegiance.
And bear true allegiance.
To the state of Maryland.
To the state of Maryland.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
And that I will.
And that I will.
To the best of my skill and judgment.
To the best of my skill and judgment.
Diligently and faithfully.
Diligently and faithfully.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Without partiality or prejudice.
Serve as a member.
Serve as a member.
Of the town of Berlin.
Of the town of Berlin.
Board of Supervisors of Elections.
Board of Supervisors of Elections.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
According to the Constitution and laws of this state.
Okay, we're now formally sworn in, and we welcome and thank you so much. Number three on our agenda tonight is the first reading of Ordinance 2020-04, which is an ordinance to amend our current elections section of our code regarding absentee voting. And Mary, are you going to, Marilyn, are you going to give an overview of what this basic change is?
Basically, it removes some language from the first paragraph of the absentee voting section. The state of Maryland, for some time, I'm not entirely sure how long, has not required that voters provide an excuse to absentee vote. We have not required a reason on our application for the last several election cycles, but we just need to get the town code to accurately reflect both the state law and our practice. So it's removing the part of the statement that says any qualified voter who may be unavoidably absent from the town or who is otherwise prevented from being physically present to vote in person at the polls on the day of any municipal election. They vote by absentee ballot subject to provision as follows. So it changes that to read any qualified voter may vote by absentee ballot, essentially.
And I think that's a trend that's happening everywhere. And
yes.
And we certainly want to encourage people to vote by any means that's most convenient for them.
Of course. They still have to apply to vote, but they don't have to have a stated reason, such as an illness or travel or anything like that.
Reflects a changing time. Does anyone have any questions regarding the proposed change?
No.
So, Mary, with the next step, public hearing on this at our next meeting?
Correct.
Okay, and that meeting is Monday, June 22nd. Again, if you have any questions you'd like to be submitted to the town council, do as we've had in these recent meetings and just send it in to Mary Bowman, our deputy town administrator, and we'll make sure that they get addressed.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Next is agenda item number 4, and that is a proclamation claiming June 22nd to 28th as our municipality's observance of National Pollinator Week as an affiliate of Bee City USA. And I'll read that. And again, I think it was 2 years ago that we became an official Bee City in promoting pollination for our town or wherever it's seasonal. The proclamation 2020-19 reads, the mayor and council of the town of Berlin does hereby proclaim June 22nd to 28th, 2020, our municipality's observance of National Pollinator Week as an affiliate of Bee City USA. Whereas pollinator species such as thousands of species of bees are essential partners in producing much of our food supply, and whereas pollinator species provide significant environmental benefits that are necessary for maintaining healthy, biodiverse urban and suburban ecosystems, and whereas pollination plays a vital role for the trees and plants of our community, enhancing our quality of life and creating recreational and economic development opportunities. And whereas for decades the town of Berlin has managed town landscapes and public lands that include many municipal parks and greenways, as well as wildlife habitats. Whereas the town of Berlin provides recommendations to developers and residents regarding landscaping to promote wise conservation stewardship, including the protection of pollinators and maintenance of their habitats and environments. Now, therefore, I, William G. Williams, Mayor of the Town of Berlin, do hereby proclaim June 22nd through 28, 2020, as our municipality's observance of National Pollinator Week. And Berlin, as an affiliate of Bee City USA, we urge all citizens to recognize this week's observance. All right, thank you very much. And now, we are item 5 of our agenda, which is contract renewals for the new fiscal year, which begins July 1.
And I would like to ask the mayor and council to approve the following contract for FY21. Angel's Touch Cleaning Services, they are under contract, proposed contract to clean all public restrooms, also the restrooms in Town Hall, Planning, and the Welcome Center. The amount of that contract is $12,000. Booth and Associates, LLC, that's a reoccurring contract.
Tandy, you might explain what Booth and Associates
does. Booth and Associates are heavily involved with us with the electric utility and the Public Service Commission. They provide us with legal counsel and also the folks that can dissect and understand all the workings of the electric utility in itself. We've been with Booth and Associates, I know, well over, I want to say around 10 years at a minimum, but it's been as long as I've been employed here. And a contract annually has been not to exceed $100,000. Cards Technology, that's our annual service agreement and continuity agreement. The amount is $38,400. And I want to defer to Mary on something real quick. The difference between this year's contract and last year's, the amount is approximately?
It's the same.
Exact same. So no increase in the cards contract. Davis, Bowen, and Fidel DBF, again, not to exceed $100,000. I think everyone's aware that we utilize those folks for all the infrastructure and down their engineering expertise.
There are consulting engineers.
Consulting engineers. EA Engineering, again, a consulting engineer. Their contract not to exceed $100,000.
And that, again, that's for environmental science and technology.
Correct. And then a new contract this year within the police department. The chief wants to have his own cleaning contract over there, so he's contracted with Jarman's Cleaning Services, and that contract is in the amount of $10,400.04. Then Worcester Youth and Family, the last few years, the amount that the town has provided them for their services has been $40,000.
Does anyone have any questions regarding any of the proposed contracts for the new fiscal year.
I just have one question. The ones that are not to exceed $100,000, typically where do those come in at?
Anywhere between $50,000 and $60,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my only question.
If there are no more questions, I'd like to move to approve the upcoming year's contract as presented.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the contracts as presented and proposed by Councilmember Burrell. All members in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, please reflect the motion passed unanimously. Okay. In our budget that we approved at the last meeting, just want to remind the public that included in that was the approval of a three-year extension of the town administrator, Jeff Peatwood's contract. It's the same terms and the same level of salary as currently, which is $110,000 a year. And we're very pleased that the relationship has been very productive and I think mutually beneficial for everyone. And so we just want to make note of that so that it's in the record that there is a contract extension through 2023. Okay, next is our town administrator's report.
And I need to slow it down a little bit there because I've got two department heads that I asked to be here between 7:15 and 7:20. One of which is Arnold Downing. I wanted to come in and brief everyone on the proposed march that's scheduled to occur in town this Thursday evening, so I wanted to give an update on that as well as his departmental report. And then I have Ivy coming in as well to give her departmental report and also to give everyone an update on what our recommendation is for fireworks for the year.
I have some stuff that I can share while waiting for that.
Well, I've got a little bit of stuff here too, so we'll...
I'm here, Jim.
Huh?
I'm here.
Good. I feel better now. I was trying to come up with a bunch of small talk here. But I do have some reports to provide you, and I think this is important for everyone to understand, especially from the planning and zoning department. Things are starting to heat up. Get busy, as I call it. At the 6:22 mayor council meeting, we'll hold a public hearing to accept the planning commission's recommendation on a motion that was passed January 8th, 2020, to rezone two parcels totaling 27.67 acres owned by the Delmarva Property Management Incorporated, and that's the Matico property, out 818 crossing Route 50 on the west side of 818, basically across 818 from Sunrise Church. Those two parcels to be rezoned from industrial to B2 shopping. So that'll be on the agenda on June 22nd. The Planning Commission will meet on Wednesday, June 10th, to review the site plan approvals for three different applicants: I.G. Burton's Chevrolet's new showroom and service building, Spiro Buis's hotel, planned hotel, and the 7-Eleven convenience store, and then also two pad sites on that property. That's this side of 50 all the way down on 818.
And Ocean Main Street.
On Main Street, all the way out. And then Ocean's East Phase 2 for 154 new rental units.
And that will be live streamed.
Great.
Okay. Rezoning requests have been received from Two Farms Incorporated, Royal Farms, for the former Harley Davidson property for a change from B1 to B2 shopping. And also from District Deal, the old Southern States property out here on Harrison. For Mr. Deal, he wants to have the zoning on that change from one industrial to B2 shopping as well. Public hearings of the Planning Commission and subsequent Mayor and Council review have yet to be scheduled. For July 8, 2020, the Planning Commission is meeting as anticipated for that issue.
I have a question.
Yeah.
At what point would we get any traffic impact data for the stuff that's proposed at the north end of Main Street and Route 50?
I don't have that answer, but I will get you an answer.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jeff, on the Carly Davis property?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the whole McDonald's or the complete
property? I'm talking about the Carly Davis property as a whole.
As a whole.
That's
okay.
Right. going in. It's on schedule. It's scheduled to be online mid-July. There's a distinct possibility, a very good possibility, that Berwyn Electric will be involved with peak shaving on June the 10th of this week. From a finance perspective, Natalie wanted me to share that Gene Holloway is still on schedule. I have something presented here by the end of June of this year. She also wanted reported that the audit this year, has been, PKS has communicated to her that the audit will probably be virtual this year, but no one actually on site. And then for everyone in here, the budget in itself should be posted online, the FY21 budget, by the end of the month of July. That's what her term is. Trying to make it very easy to follow, not to report that you get, not that it's not easy to follow, but if you don't look at it a lot.
Jeff, you said the end of July?
End of July.
So it takes that long to put the budget?
Well, last year it was not until sometime around the first of the year.
Okay.
Because the report that you guys, that we get, Natalie kind of strings that down and she's got to do it all manually. Okay. So we've had discussion on that and she's going to put an easier read version out there as well. But unfortunately, it's got to be done all manual.
Yeah.
And we want to give some explanation to a few things with it as well. So I consider it a plus when getting it out there that early.
Okay.
And then back to the audit, this virtual audit is scheduled right now. Sometime August, September timeframe. From a water resources perspective, this past couple weeks they cleaned a number of lift stations. One of the spray sites out at Liberty Town, they had to fix a leak out there. And then a big project that they worked on over the last 2 weeks was to clean the septic tanks and the equalization tanks at the treatment plant. So what are the stabilization tanks? That's when the septic haulers come into town and they dump a lot of sand, a lot of debris from the vehicles get into that and it clogs the system. So they spend quite a bit of time doing that. And then one of the things that Jamie and Marvin both shared with me, it's quite fascinating, the water towers. We don't give it a lot of thought. We pump water into the tower. The tower holds the water and then obviously it feeds the system in town. There was an issue a couple weeks ago where the float wasn't shutting off and they were overfilling. Matter of fact, the last council meeting that we had that evening, Natalie was here. She was headed home down 346. She called me and said the road was wet with water, and that was the issue. So that has been rectified as well. So now I'm going to turn it over to Mary.
Actually,
Ivy's here. So before Ivy gets into why she's in here, I want to take a moment and share with you all. I try to do it in the weekly report. But what I want to say was kind of echoed tonight by a number of merchants in town. So I don't know whether you prompted these. I'm being facetious, by the way. But I do want to recognize Ivy sincerely and wholeheartedly. Over the course of the last 3.5 months during this pandemic, the amount of effort, the amount of time that she's placed into guiding and directing the merchants in this town, it's incredible. And what I've heard more than once from merchants and from the business owners is that she's been diligent, she's been clear, she's been concise, and she's been factual. So I extend to you my heartfelt thanks for what you've done. Okay? So now I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say to that. It's funny because over the last 3.5 months when this first started, some people were asking me, well, there's nothing really going on, so what are you doing? And I thought, well, are you kidding me? I'm busier than ever right now. The amount of information that was coming out from a variety of departments, and I had to write them down because I didn't want to forget any of them. I had to gather all of this information, decipher it, and then give it to our merchants so they would be able to we were getting bombarded with emails and information, and I cut it down for them, and I explained it to them. I'm just going to read you this list really quick. First, the Maryland Main Street Program, Maryland Chamber of Commerce, Ocean City Hotel Motel Restaurant Association, Ocean City Development Corporation, Community Development Network of Maryland, Small Business Administration, Maryland Department of Commerce, Worcester County Health Department, Maryland Office of Tourism, Maryland State Arts Council, the National Main Street Center, Worcester County Economic Development, and Department of Housing and Community Development. And that's all I could just think of. And they were very helpful. They were instructing me, and I was helping our merchants. And what I did for them was they couldn't figure out some of the loan process, and I helped them through that. And I don't want to say I was a cheerleader, but I told them that this was going to be okay, that Berlin was going to be resilient, and we were going to come back because we all worked together as a community. And it happened. And there were a few businesses that told me from the beginning, they said, there's no way we're going to be able to come back. And I worked with them diligently, like Jeff said, and they decided that they were going to reopen. And they're doing extremely well, and they're all working together. And I don't know what else to say, but I was super busy.
Well, I'm going to echo something real quick. This is from one merchant. It says, I wanted to reach out and make everyone aware how big an asset IV is to the Berlin small businesses. She was sending many emails out to help us know the info that we needed. She offered many different webinars on how to create online shopping experiences since our storefronts are not allowed to be open. Most importantly for me was her knowledge of where to get grants and loans for my particular type of business. Without her help, not only finding a grant for me, but her help in filling out the extensive application, I was able to receive enough money from the Maryland State Arts Council to be able to reopen my doors. Without her help, there's a very strong possibility that I would not have been able to reopen. I can assure you that my business is one of many who not only appreciate all the help, but also the necessity that the help was given to us to help us survive and for the destination for all businesses in the town of Berlin. That's from one.
One of the other gentlemen, I was really trying to help him, and I just forgot his name. He's from the American Legion.
Gail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, I wanted to find money for him so badly, and I couldn't help him. I gave him some ideas about how to do some fundraising. Hopefully he'll be able to work with that. But so Jeff wanted me to come here and tell you all what I've been doing the last 3.5 months.
He said you were very helpful.
Yeah. He was super nice.
Well, it's been very encouraging, and especially the last 3 weeks when the reopening has begun, that I'm very encouraged by the number of people who come uptown. The flea market is stronger than ever on Sunday mornings. The
Farmer's market,
excuse me. And the outside seating for restaurants and the retail stores have been reopening. I've been very pleasantly pleased and I wouldn't say surprised, but certainly grateful that we have so many people working together. I think this is a time where the community's approach about helping each other as much as possible, mm-hmm. and not operating cutthroat, which is in some business areas what the standard is. Here's really truly partnerships of all sorts. And so thank you very much for the leadership shown here.
Thank you.
And I think that we, it looks like if things continue as they have, we'll come out of this much better than many small towns.
And I wanted to also give some props out to the property owners around town because they practice forbearance and they allow some of the businesses to not have to pay rent or maybe reduce their rent. And I know there's a couple here tonight, and so thank you for being very patient with our business owners.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments regarding Bobby's report?
We're going to talk about fireworks.
Fireworks. It's been a very interesting day regarding fireworks. It started with wondering what we may do to actually realizing that we cannot have our fireworks celebration due to the fire marshal not giving out any fireworks permits because of the no gathering of 10 or more people. So I talked to Matt Owens, fire marshal, today, and he confirmed that. And we have a deadline that we have to meet for the fireworks by June 15th.
With the contract.
So there's a few options that we have here. Number one, we postpone the fireworks till next year. We lose $2,500, but the $2,500, it's a $5,000 deposit. So we lose $2,500, but the other $2,500 goes towards the deposit for next year. Or we could postpone them for another date this year. We have until January 1st, 2021, which where we would still have to pay an additional $5,000 to have that fireworks celebration because we still owe the $5,000 for that. We're talking about doing a festival to celebrate all of the activities that were canceled, something called the Best of Berlin is Back Festival, where we would have bathtub races and some of the reggae play day and a couple little other assets that the town lost during the shutdown. So we could always schedule the fireworks to accompany one of those events. But working with Tom Perlazzo in the county, one of the things that he had planned is an event during the day with the fireworks at night. So I'm not sure if everything going on that the county wants to help with during the day would take away from something that we're doing downtown. I don't want to pile on too much for one day.
Is there any way that we can coordinate what we're doing here? Because this is unique. It's unique here. I encourage that there's options, that, especially, let's say, after Labor Day. Because between now and Labor Day, everybody's just trying to get back
right
on the horse.
Right.
And so if we can look at alternatives there, I would like for you to reach out to Mr. Palazzo and say, okay, we want to do something. We've been working on something. Is there some way in which we can coordinate our efforts that way it's not a burden on anyone in any great way? Do you think that is...
Right. I talked to him just earlier, and he said that he'll work with us with whatever we come up with, as long as the county field's available and as long as the fireworks company is available for that.
Yeah, the county field.
But he's very easy to work with.
Okay.
So, but it's up to you what you would like to decide.
So, Ivy, that date of June the 15th, that is a...
That's the deadline. So if you want to wait until June 15th...
One or the other.
Correct.
Yeah, what we're recommending is we make a decision tonight rather than having a special meeting about something that's pretty obvious. Nothing's going to change between now and June 15th. I quite frankly, am not comfortable in promoting fireworks for third of July, which is our tradition, with so many things up in the air. I don't... It's just... Hey, it's going to settle down. We'll know what the new normal is, I think, by Labor Day and early fall. And I think if we have it, and we'll, as things develop, we'll see what the Economic Community Development Office recommends in coordination with the county and come back with something to account for this summer. For whatever this event becomes, I'll say after Labor Day, September. September-ish as a general goal.
And I would add that the knowledge that we have now about not being able to get that permit, didn't know that yesterday. We didn't ask, shame on us. But let's assume that we could have gotten that permit and gone with the July 3rd meeting that was originally scheduled. I would not have recommended that. I would have recommended that you did pull it because the number of municipalities that have canceled, my fear from a logistical perspective, I don't know, in going to a new site, I have fear on that, so I'd rather be smooth.
I think Kendall said earlier, too many moving parts.
Yes.
And so I think we'll have a lot less moving parts to deal with later, as far as making a formal decision later this summer. But I'd hate to just say, oh, the heck with it, because it's complicated. Well, life's a little more complicated. It's been for a while, and we're doing just fine.
David, have you read this contract by chance?
I have, and also the amendments to it.
Is there any type of way that we could still get the full deposit back, being that it's neither their fault nor ours? It's a decision made by the county?
Yes.
And if you're looking for a motion, I say that we go ahead and cancel it, get our $2,500 back.
But we can't get $2,500. That's what we're saying. We can't get the deposit back.
We lose $2,500.
Yeah. The deposit's $5,000.
Yeah. And they're going to keep $2,500.
Well, but we also don't.
would still have to pay an additional $5,000.
Yes.
But I think...
Which we're going to pay anyway.
If we were to not move forward with the fireworks for some reason before January 1st, we would still only lose $2,500.
Right.
So there's nothing lost to really just kick the can down the road a little bit and see what tomorrow brings.
$2,500 gone, where we have to be now.
Right.
Yep.
Let's try to have it before the end of the year.
Yeah, let's try to do it before the first.
Well, I think, again, postponing the decision doesn't cost us anything, buys us some time, and personally, with all that's uncertain out there, and I just don't believe that Vernon's going to bounce back as well as any small town, certainly in this region by far, that there will be an appropriate time, but we'll see it coming, and we don't have to make that decision right now. What we do need is basically your approval to inform fireworks contract that we will not be having fireworks on the 3rd of July, and that our goal is to have something after Labor Day, take date to be determined in other circumstances, and we'll get back with it. And that, as far as the contract's concerned, we have up until January 1st, 2021, to do this. So I don't see the urgency, but I do think that we should meet the terms of the contract and inform them of what the situation is.
And I'm in contact with the fireworks company pretty much on a weekly basis to find out what dates he's already booked for another municipality. So then, because I already know that Labor Day weekend is completely booked already. So we couldn't have it Labor Day weekend anyway. We also have to remember that I talked with John Fager. Small Town Throwdown is still a go, hopefully, when the governor lifts that order. So Small Town Throwdown is still a go. Fiddler's Convention is still up in the air. We're meeting with the chamber next week. Oktoberfest is the second week in October. And see what happens.
In a way, we're fortunate that we have very few events in the summer. Spring and fall are our season of events. And it works out very well for employment, what happens in Michigan City and everything else. Have your approval to basically, as Ivy recommended, inform the contractor what's happening, tell them we'll get back to them, and in the meantime, we'll see what gets proposed. If they don't like what's proposed, then we can just cancel it all together. But I think they can come up with something very cool.
Mm-hmm. The motion is that.
Okay. That was a motion. Are you making that motion? Because I can't make a motion.
Pretty clear out later. That's correct.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyes. The terms I just talked about.
Excellent.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed. All right, thank you again. And
thanks, Ivy.
I would like to say one thing.
Sure.
Thank you for the A-frame signs that are at the crosswalk. I did see those during the farmer's market, and it looked like they did have some effect. So that's a good positive effect.
Everybody saw the crosswalk signs. I sent you pictures of. No.
Let's make sure we get a picture so we can share with the council and anybody else so people can see, know what to look for, right? The operating motor vehicle or pedestrian during the farmer's market.
Sure thing.
We used to have them at some point. They were at every crosswalk, I think, when that new legislation came out from the state.
Those are on loan, actually, from SHA.
Okay. Yeah. They look good.
And thank you for the suggestion. That's how all this came about. And everybody just searching for a solution, and I think we found a good place for now, and let's see what we got. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.
Mary?
I sent with my weekly report last week, we received notification that we were not approved for the Community Parks and Playgrounds application for the basketball court lane in Henry Park. I have not been able to coordinate a time to talk to our regional representative to find out a little bit more. Maybe she can shed some light on where the application may have been lacking. But in light of conversations that we've had at other points, what I will need the mayor and council to consider over the next 2 months, generally the applications are due in August, is whether we want to apply again for the basketball court lighting or the other project which had been Stephen Decatur Park. One thing that has occurred, as with many, many things, I feel that probably the way public restrooms will be handled going forward as far as health requirements for disinfection, that kind of thing, will be different, possibly, in the future. Not that would change and still need to be done either way, but it is something to be considered. In Stephen Decatur Park, another consideration is that there is a small water line sufficient to feed a hose bib and a water fountain. Additional water line would have to be put in for a restroom as well as sewer. There is no sewer currently in Stephen Decatur Park. So the expenses to put a public restroom in will be significant. I would estimate in the area of $150,000 to $175,000.
For the structure?
Well, and for water and sewer. I obviously, that is a ballpark figure. I have not had a chance to really talk to Jamie. As you know, he's been out, and so I don't know what his estimate on water and sewer costs would be. The basketball court lighting, the last application was about $109,000. You assume a 5 or 10% inflation increase. This is all just to give you ideas of what kind of things you all need to consider. I will probably be coming back to you in July, early August, to discuss the application a little bit further. So that's something that you'll want to kind of think about in the meantime, where you want to place the priority for applying for future funds.
Mary, how many times have we applied for the grant?
For the basketball?
For the basketball.
Twice.
Twice for yes. 2 years.
This is the second time.
And we haven't gotten anything.
No. Now, and as I say, I'm still waiting to have a conversation with them to see if I can get some light shed on why that might be.
But the
those
same
conversations time, sometimes are helpful, sometimes not.
Again, obviously, everybody to be precision. What I'm saying is we've obviously gone to the well for two straight years and come back empty, which is very, very rare. And I know Councilman Burrell and some other council members have been wanting to get the restrooms at Smith Hill Park, and I think we're all for it. But maybe we change our priorities and our tactics, and also in terms of if we do that, then we consider what the town's contribution needs to be done in the next budget.
Yes, that actually, thank you, Mayor. That was actually something else that that I was going to indicate. I don't know this for a fact, but it is never harmful to increase the match that we're offering against a grant application.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question. So last year we also applied more than nine. What was the reason of giving for that?
I have not gotten a reason.
Okay. So both times it's been denied and we haven't received any feedback.
I have not had a chance to have a conversation this time. So the last year when the conversation was basically we just didn't have enough money.
Okay.
So.
Thank you for trying.
Good evening, everybody. Departmental meeting also. I'll go ahead and do that first. Lieutenant Lawson instructed members of the department, fire marshal's office, and a few retirees at the range this week to try to keep up on the firearms instruction. On the 2nd, which was a Saturday, we had an interview process for the final candidates for the academy in July. We had our HR director, Kelsey Jensen, she was a part of that, with Lieutenant Lawson, Lieutenant Fisher, and Sergeant O'Connor. They ended up with two selections that we've already started the background process on this week, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have progress on that front. Lieutenant, myself and the PFC Kerr, we helped with the drive-through pantry with Stevenson this week, and they assisted 175 families this week. They've been averaging close to 200 every week for the last 6 weeks. So it's definitely been something that's been very responsible to the community. And on Friday, we had a prayer vigil at Tyree AME Church that was sponsored by the Worcester County NAACP. Had approximately seven cars and 120 to 140 participants at that event. It was a very well-planned event, and it was a very well-thought-out process, and it came out very, very well. Tonight, I want to also speak about a group that wants to do a march on Thursday. We found out about it on social media, like most of us do. We find something out. And my first inclination was, first thing Monday, I'm going to call the organizer and make sure that we're on the same page. Well, I got a surprise. They called me before I even picked the phone up. And they went through with some ideas on the phone, and I said, well, maybe this, maybe that. And as soon as they brought up suggestions, they were very responsive. And at 4 o'clock, they had two of their actual leaders at my office to go ahead and have a meeting. And what they wish to do is to have everything set up at Stephen Decatur Park on the pond side where the parking lot's located.
Just out of the park.
And have children have an opportunity to have a display, some different things, and then have a march all the way downtown, back to the park, and then have presentations, and to close out there.
Now, all the presentations are not in the playground area and all that, but
no.
They're all in what I call the parking lot area.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. How far down Main Street?
Right now, they're looking at going to West Street and to turn back around. Mm-hmm. It might be an opportunity for everybody to come a little closer together. Their first inclination was to go ahead and have everything on the sidewalk and try to space them out, everybody wear a mask. And I said, it's very well to go ahead and think about that. It's very ambitious. But we other feel that we're probably going to have to go ahead and block the streets for a period of time, give them enough room and space to go ahead and do what they want to go ahead and do, and make it realistic.
So are you expecting the organizers and yourself to expect that to be about an hour, roughly?
Well, that is the time frame that they gave. And we'll go back to Friday night's event. Very well planned. Their time was 7 o'clock to 8. They went ahead and said we're having seven preachers, local preachers speak in an hour. Yeah, okay, so we all got the same joke that I heard, and it was 9 o'clock when everything left. Their plan was to try to limit all the speakers to 10 minutes each, and they're putting it out for them, and things happened. I encouraged them to do the exact same thing, to go ahead and have some type of boundary structure and understand everything's not going to be 100%. And the group leaders themselves are either business owners of the town and people who live in town. So they either feel they have a vested interest and they want to go ahead and be able to voice some of their concerns. The one statement that was given was, we were waiting for someone to do something in Berlin. And then they realized that the someone should be them. So again, opportunity for our citizens to express themselves. And we also got a call tonight. Snow Hill is actually having an event on Wednesday night.
That's it. You have a good line of communication. You're all working together and coordinating things. And I think that having the statements and speeches or whatever after the
correct
march makes sense, because that way the Main Street will be temporarily curtailed in terms of traffic.
Correct.
But certainly not as long as we've had many other
correct
events in March.
They were very thoughtful about that process and not wanting to be bogging downtown so that businesses would come back and say they really impeded us. They want to just go ahead and go, then go back, and they said this is a great place for us to go ahead and be able to do most of our discussion, presentation, and I feel that's going to be a lot better than stopping, you know, right down downtown.
Yeah, makes sense. It seems like, from my personal perspective, it sounds like a very good plan. And, you know, I think that everyone working together will have this be a successful event for our community.
What was the time frame on that again?
Right now, it was 5 to 6. And again, we know that they want everything, 4:45, everybody be there and ready to go. 5 o'clock, go ahead and start. And that's their thought.
And that's what day is that?
Thursday, June 11th. Right?
That is correct.
Any questions for the chief?
Arnold, you said there were going to be children. The playground will not be accessible.
Not at all. What they felt that this is a family event, and that's what they are trying to portray it to be, that the families have to go ahead and show that they are concerned about the future, not only right today. And I think they want to go ahead and say in their event, they want to go ahead and have a voice for the children.
And I just want to add a comment that because obviously many people, and I totally understand, are anxious for us to reopen our parks. We'll be happy to once we get the okay from Governor Hogan. And he seems to be making press conferences every Wednesday that go in effect at 5 o'clock, 5:05. So at this point, we're hopeful. I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm hopeful that sometime this month that our parks come completely open and with all, you know, proper supervision and sanitation and all that. We need to wait for the governor's okay, because so far we have basically followed those guidelines. We've done everything we can. We have some local discretion, but on the bigger picture things, we don't. And so I'm hopeful that things seem to be heading in the right direction. Any other questions for the chief?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, appreciate it.
Made my comments for tonight. I would say this, I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far. Berlin's reopened. There's more things that I hope will accelerate, but I think people are anxious to be out and about, socialize, but they're also being very responsible. And I want to thank the citizens and the guests of our town for being so responsible. But also for being very responsive in bringing our town back. And I'm very optimistic in the immediate term. Any council members have anything to say?
Any update on the resurfacing of the streets?
Yes. Today, last week, the ECM was awarded the contract. When I spoke to the ECM rep today, they were procuring their performance bonds. So the game plan right now is for them to hopefully they'll be on site sometime next week. And the game plan is to get them work before the end of the month.
Good.
I don't have nothing.
Okay. Thank you very much. And do we have any questions from the public or press?
The only question we received from the public was regarding the election process and the ordinance, and I addressed that when we spoke about it.
Sure. And again, anybody has any questions in the public, certainly call town hall. We'll find someone to talk to you and explain what's happening. And basically, the bottom line is we're trying to make sure that our code makes absentee voting as available as humanly possible for our town election, which in the first Tuesday in October of this year.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Mm-hmm. You want to read that?
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone, I have decided, my name is have decided to move on and will be working in the hotel industry now. My last day is Wednesday. It was a pleasure working with you guys for the last 6 months. This is Allie. She will be taking over.
Put a face to the name. It's Allie what?
Allie Lanassa.
How does that spell?
L-A-N-A-S-A.
Thank you. Allie Lanassa. And you're the new Morgan.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Morgan, for introducing.
Thank you.
Charlene, Anita?
No, thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
Okay, we'll have the comments move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
You did good, Jake.
Did you do it, George?